Good morning and thanks for coming to this session. I appreciate your being here early in the morning. I want to talk to you about some collaborative undergraduate internships that we've been developing at Cornell University. I wanted to make sure to acknowledge my co-professor in this endeavor, Kepa Nayende, who's the second author here. He is from Kibabi University and was a real stalwart throughout the entire internship process. And I also wanted to acknowledge Bethany Ann Boyer-Reshlin, who was my TA from Cornell and assisted me in this course. Those in between are the students who participated, and you'll meet those in a few minutes. So this is the outline of my talk. I wanted to talk a bit about the origin of the program. It came out of my research through the Feed the Future program on healthy beans. I'll cover the intended learning outcomes for the students themselves, how I assessed them, what study perspectives I wanted them to engage their minds in. We had a first foray, trying to find out what in fact might go wrong in advance of having the actual foray, which of course did not predict anything that went wrong in the second foray. Then a bit about the student experiences and the key learning outcomes. So the internships came out of this project. Now I have some handouts on this. If you want to know more about our Feed the Future project, please see me afterwards and I can give you a copy of this poster, which we have both in English and in Kiswahili that we use in our Feed the Future program. I want to draw your attention mostly up to this corner here. We're using agricultural charcoal and compost to improve soil health. It has these kinds of functions associated with it. Our main focus is on disease control in beans and improving yields. So we are at a point in our project where we were doing farmer-led on-farm trials, and this was a great opportunity to get undergraduate students involved in the farmer field days. So we would have farmer field days. This is Willis Oetkatsch, who is demonstrating this pyrolytic cook stove that you can see here that produces the agricultural charcoal on a household basis. So he's demonstrating how to use this. We actually make a kettle of tea for the entire group, and by the time we've gone to the field and come back, the tea is ready and we share a cup of tea together. So the students were engaged in this. Now each of the farmers who led these projects would go to the field and explain what they had done. This is Nelson Muganda. Unfortunately, Nelson passed away about 3 days after this picture was taken. He was one of our best farmers, and I just want to shout out to him. He was really instrumental in our program. And we did, in fact, end up placing two students on his farm in the following year. And I'll talk about that in a bit. So they talked to all the participants about what they have done and passed that knowledge on. We also do some training on compost and some other things. So we felt that this was a good opportunity through the internationalizing the Cornell curriculum to get students engaged in this. So here are the key learning objectives, really, that I had for this program. To understand the challenges that smallholders face, to work with the farm families in a co-learning environment, to learn location and situation appropriate means to increase fertility and productivity, and to appreciate that new constraints emerge continually. In addition, I wanted them to appreciate and understand Kenyan culture from partnering with the farmers themselves, but also with a Kenyan student. So when I placed these students on farms, I had three students from Cornell, three students from Kibabe. They formed pairs with each other and went on farms in pairs. They were to develop appropriate on-farm research questions and overall advance their skills. So when I went to work on their assessment, they were to participate actively in our farmer field days, observe the technology transfer process, conduct an on-farm agroecosystem analysis. I'll mention a bit more about that in a minute. Identify an emergent issue for the farm family. This isn't always agronomically related. It can come from a wide range of pressures that the family faces, but they really need to get in there and know and understand the situation before they can understand what the emergent issues might be for this farm family. They gave a presentation before they left Kenya. They gave another one yesterday at Cornell, and they'll write a personal reflection about this process. So what I wanted them to do while they were on farms with their farm families was to study the farm from these different perspectives: the historical, productivity, what sorts of resources the farm had, how it was structured, the financial management, what are other external and environmental impacts on the farm that the family is facing now, management, marketing and selling. They were to develop a seasonal calendar, look at what the farmer networks were, and study the family, the human activity system, which is often where emergent issues emerge from, and then identify those emergent issues. So in our first foray, I took two undergraduate students who had already done their international experience, and so they were not being graded for the exercise. They were actually there to inform me about the process and about what students would need to know and understand for the follow-on activity. And they were really fantastic. They thrived on being on farms. They did decide one day that they were going to go out for a hike without telling me. So we had a little bit of safety issue that was involved in that, but I think that we corrected that the next time around. So in our second foray, we were lucky enough to get a Jumpstart Kiswahili program going. So they had a week of intensive Kiswahili before they went to hopefully be able to have some few words that they could interact with the farm family. They spent 3 days with us working on the farmer field days. They visited a total of 6 farms with the research crew. They had a task and safety briefing before they went out, and then we paired them and assigned them to farms. Then each pair was on a farm for a 3-week stay. We brought them back off farm, debriefed. They helped us in harvesting our research trials, went on farm for another 3 weeks, debriefed again, and then a few went on safari and then came home after that. So here are two of the students that were involved in the program, Robbie Miera and Seamus Murphy. So this is Robbie actually helping to teach composting to a group of farmers that are here on the farm where he stayed. This is Seamus Murphy and again Robbie. This is Angela here and Jeffrey here. They built a unbelievable compost pile for this family whose soils were suffering very much from low organic matter and very, very low fertility. They also helped to design a water catchment system for this family. This is Jade Algerin. Let me get my arrow going here. Come on. Jade and Gloria Amutabi, who worked on farm with Sella and James Opacha. And what they realized was the family was hauling water, liters and liters and liters of water, up to where the cattle were, rather than there may be some rules about taking cattle down to where people are pulling water out of the stream. But the milk production was incredibly low because the cows were not getting sufficient water. And so they started to design mechanisms whereby they could increase the water intake of the cows and increase milk productivity. It's a rather simple thing, but it could make a really big impact on that family. And then finally we have Owen Toro and Jin Sazaki. Jin actually spent time in Kenya before coming on this program. He is a Cornell student, but he did 3 years at the Rift Academy, so he was already somewhat familiar with the Kenyan environment, and they stayed with Mama Muganda, who was married to Nelson, who had passed away the year before. And they looked at organic pest control for her, but really the emergent issue here was the loss of Nelson, who was a community leader, a very passionate teacher and educator in his own right, and there was no one in the family to step into his shoes, and consequently the farm was suffering as a result. So they had serious farm transition issues that they were facing. And after this farm stay, young Jin managed to contract malaria. He was in the hospital for 7 days. And that was a real eye-opener for me. Overall, very eye-opening and life-changing experience for the students, but I have to say it was also extremely eye-opening and life-changing for me as well. And these key learning outcomes, while they definitely were experienced by the students, were really big take-home lessons for me. So safety, safety, safety. You cannot plan enough in advance for these kinds of things because anything can happen. How was I to know Jin was not taking malarial medication? And when he told us, we bought him some and he still didn't take it. You cannot prevent what happened from happening. He was misdiagnosed, and consequently he probably will have malaria in his liver for the rest of his life. But that's, you can't cram pills down a 22-year-old's throat, so be forewarned. Gender roles and expectations were really, really fascinating. The girls involved in the study were expected to cook and clean and do a variety of things for the family. These expectations were not on the male counterparts. In fact, a few of the male counterparts said, well, in the debrief, I said, did you go to the field with the farm family? You know, when did you start going? Oh, well, you know, the first couple of days, they didn't wake us up. What? Didn't wake you up? Okay, now, that's kind of interesting. So the expectation on these boys was really very different from the girls. At one point, the girls called me in tears. They had been asked to get their dresses on and march 2 kilometers away and clean somebody else's house. And they didn't understand what was going on, had no idea what was up. Can any of you think about why that might have happened? If you've spent some time there in a community, why might this have happened? Was the first question I asked them. Did somebody die? Is there a funeral going on? Are you helping out the community to prepare for this funeral? And in fact, that was exactly what had happened. So it was very explainable that they were part of the community. They weren't being used as cleaners. They were being part of the family that was helping with this tragedy that happened there. Getting them to write it up, strike while the iron is hot. I had another instance where one of the students asked me, well, you know, aren't they supposed to try to understand our culture too? And I was shocked by the question. My answer was, no, it's not. It is your responsibility to embed in this culture. Then I also had a few pairs that had some conflict. So all of these things, you can't anticipate them really that well in advance. You need to roll with the punches when they come. And probably the most important thing that I can say about it is not to go it alone. I had Kefa by my side, and I had Bethany Boyer-Reschlin as my TA, and they absolutely were instrumental to the program, and I could not have done it without them. So thank you very much. Was cash. So I had the Internationalizing the Cornell Curriculum grant, which was a 2-year grant that allowed me to take my 2 test subjects to Kenya in the first year and embed them in my already ongoing research program. So it's costly. I financed $900 in the airfare for the students, and then any hostel stays they had in between the farm stays. I bought food for the farm families because they were feeding 2 extra very large expectant mouths. And so really just having the funds to be able to do it was one of the initial obstacles. But now with this under my belt, I would answer that question a little bit differently, and that is the maturity of the students involved and who I choose, what kinds of questions that I ask to make sure that they're actually ready for an experience like this. That would be more what I would see as the hurdle that needs to be overcome for the future.
Any other questions?
Thank you. Yes?
How large a program do you think you can handle?
Considering what happened this last time with a kid in the hospital with malaria for 7 days, that was all I could handle was 3 pairs. I don't see the program going any bigger than 6 pairs, but I think you have to have them clustered if you're going to do that. The distances are really far between farms. The roads are rutted and dirt, and it's extremely difficult. You know, something that would take us 20 minutes to get to is going to take you 2 hours. So clustering them, I think, would enable us to have a maximum of, say, 6 pairs. Yeah, and I think beyond that, you need a lot more faculty and TAs because there are issues. They come up. Yeah. Great. Thanks very much.
Thank you.